The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a discipline and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And over the page, chapter 2, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He's a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. You will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Before we turn, how to be good sounds good. How to be wise sounds too good to be true. And if I had the simple secret, then they might be queuing up at the church doors the next two Sunday mornings. Not. When I was young and engaged in school examinations, we had a strategy, a number of us, and that was to pick the desk in an examination which was closest to the brightest pupil in the class. Not, of course, in the hope of cribbing his answers. Wouldn't do that. But in the hope that somehow, in some way, some of his wisdom would spill over to us. If only it was that simple to become wise. So how to be wise? Before we look at the how question, we've got to look at the what question. What is this wisdom that we are going to be thinking about? Well, of course, it's Bible wisdom. It's not the other kind of wisdom, which is known as worldly wisdom. We all know about that because we live in the world. But what is this Bible wisdom? Well, this wisdom, chapter 1 tells us, is not marked by brains. The writer said in verse 4, this wisdom gives prudence to the simple. So you don't have to have brains to acquire this wisdom. You don't have to have a high IQ or a wide education or to be well read. This wisdom can be acquired by the simple, and that's good news and gives hope for all of us here this morning. I remember a number of years ago having to kill 5 hours of time in Rhodes International Airport because of a delayed flight home from holiday. Just the thing you need to take away the good of a holiday immediately. And I can remember sitting on a suitcase, passing the time, and read most of Paul Johnson's book, The Intellectuals, in which he gives a brief potted biography of some of the great thinkers in history, like Marx and Rousseau and Hemingway and Sartre and Bertrand Russell. And in each case, the author demonstrated, while all had great brains, None had basic wisdom to manage their lives and cope with their weaknesses. So this wisdom is not marked by brains, and this wisdom is not marked by years. Because the writer in the same verse says, wisdom gives knowledge and discretion to the young. So it's not limited to age and experience and years. I mean to say, an awful lot of foolish things can be done by older folks. I don't mean to be disrespectful in that, but you know what I mean. This wisdom can be acquired by the young. Indeed, the scholars, some of them, think that this book of Proverbs was aimed at the younger generation in Israel. That's to say, the potential leaders of the people of God for the next generation. And if that's the case, then that's quite an arresting thought for us here this morning, as we give thanks for many quality young people who are involved in our work in Christen and in Moody'sburn. As we give thanks for them, our great concern and prayer above everything else is that they might acquire Bible wisdom and be effective, godly leaders of the church in the next generation. So this wisdom is not tied to brains or to years. What is it marked by? And where can we find it displayed? And the answer to that is in life. The writer says in verse 3, this wisdom is for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair in life. So this wisdom is the key to life and living. And there is a link between our two series these Sunday mornings. For you have to be wise to be good in day-to-day living. And the wisdom that we are concerned with in the book of Proverbs is to do with day-to-day living. Somebody described the content of the book of Proverbs in this way. This wisdom asks what a person is like to live with, or to employ, how he manages his time, his money, himself or herself. This good lady, for instance, does she talk too much? That cheerful soul, is he bearable in the early morning? And this friend, who's always dropping in, here's some advice for him, and also for that rather aimless lad. You see, this wisdom is very practical. It's down to earth. Somebody has described it as godliness in working clothes. And the acquiring of this wisdom involves a process. There are five nouns used in the first six verses in association with this special kind of wisdom to describe what it is. Let me just highlight them for you, mention them. You may want to follow with an open Bible. This wisdom is associated with discipline, insight, prudence, discretion, and learning. And when you take all these Hebrew words behind our English translations together, then they describe a process. A process of education and training in lifestyle and living. And when I read that, I immediately thought of the days when I used to work for my living. When I had a real job, that is. I mean, Monday to Friday, not just 2 hours and a Sunday. I mean, a real job. Namely, when I worked with Scottish Gas for 7 years in Edinburgh. When Anne and I first met, she thought that I was a meter reader with the gas board. She used to tell people that. What does he do? Oh, I think he fits fires or fits meters with a gas board. And I had to tell her, I haven't the slightest clue how to read a gas meter, or even where to find one in the house. No, my job was in education and training. And for 3 months, when my boss left, I was education and training officer for Scotland. Pity help them. And I didn't get my boss's job, so I left and moved from gas to Gators. But I've often thought, you know, it's really been a sideways move. in many respects, into education and training in other aspects, but infinitely more significant. Education and training in the gas board covered all spheres of gas work. But education and training in Bible wisdom covers all aspects of life's work. Because Bible wisdom points to a process of education and training in all of life. And at times it can be a pretty steep learning curve, can't it? When the harsh facts of life knock some of the nonsense out of us. Because the harsh facts are in fact God's facts and part of His curriculum in the school of biblical character wisdom. Spent just a few moments thinking about what is wisdom. I like to think of it in this definition. It is godliness in working clothes. Very practical and down to earth. And now to the how question. Only got time this morning to give a motto as we begin this study. And I use the word motto rather than the word secret, because I've said already there's no simple secret to wisdom. But this motto is true and trustworthy, and here it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Change the word knowledge and substituted wisdom, because that's what it really means. And four other times in the scriptures, in the Bible, that motto is used in this way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Beginning not in the sense that you leave that behind when you move on in your journey, but beginning in the sense that it's the primary, essential, controlling principle of wisdom in all of life to the very end. The fear of the Lord, I think, involves two things. Firstly, it means to revere God's person. Fearing the Lord does not mean being afraid of Him, as one would be, for example, of a thunder and lightning storm on the golf course, when the really wise thing is to run as fast as your little legs can carry you back to the clubhouse. Now, fearing the Lord is not running away from and hiding from the Lord, but it means being in awe of Him. Because of who He is. Know that the Lord is God, said the psalmist in Psalm 100. That's to say, believe, really believe He's God. Living and active in our lives, holy and righteous all the time, sovereign and powerful, just and judging, good and gracious. Know that the Lord is God, and we are His. The psalmist goes on to say in Psalm 100, we are His. Now, of the 100 times that God's name is mentioned in the book of Proverbs, all but a dozen of these instances refer to God's name as the covenant God, the God, that is to say, who saves His people and sustains them and strengthens them, because they're His people. They belong to Him. And He cares for them. And He loves them. And He intends the very best for them, especially and particularly that they be wise with His wisdom. And that's why the opening chapters in the book of Proverbs sometimes give us the picture of a father. God is a father pleading with His sons, His children. Pleading lovingly, tenderly, patiently, but passionately and persistently for them to seek this wisdom. Find that in chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words, if you call out for this wisdom, if you look for it, if you search for it, then verse 5, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And that means here, the personal loving kindness of God. In verse 5 here, you have two classic Old Testament terms brought together to describe true religion and true faith: awe of God and intimacy with God. And that's the fear of the Lord. That's the fear of the Lord. the deepest respect for the person of God, and the greatest love for Him in all things and in all times. Because He's there. The Lord is there in all things, in our lives. On holiday, I was reading again the short autobiography of one of our great pastors in the Church of Scotland in the second half of the 20th century, William Still, who was minister at Gilcomstone, south in Aberdeen, for 47 years. And he said something that I've been thinking about since I read it on holiday. And here I'm paraphrasing what he said. It was something like this. Our lives lived with the indwelling Savior are lived out in the ordinariness of our daily lives. And let there be no doubt, Jesus loves ordinariness very much. Jesus loves ordinariness very much. That's why He's there. In all the ordinary events of life, the Lord is there. The book of Proverbs doesn't often take us to church. Very often it takes us into the streets of life. Chapter 1, verse 20, wisdom calls aloud in the street, raises her voice in the public squares, in the gateways of the city. Very often in the book of Proverbs, the wisdom is on the street corners, and so it offers us a wisdom which makes us street wise in the very best sense of that term. Wisdom in Proverbs takes us to the neighbor's garden fence. It takes us to the business office meeting. It takes us to the issues of the kitchen sink. It takes us into the family home and relationships between parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters. It deals with mundane matters, ordinary events, and Jesus Christ loves ordinariness very much. And He's there. He's just there all the time. And that's why we have to fear the Lord. That's to say, humble ourselves before Him and seek His will first and foremost, not what I want. And you know, this is really what makes the Christian life very thrilling. To think that God is there in every act, in every task, in every role that we have to play in life. He's just there. So we refer to Him. That's what makes drudgery divine, said the hymn writer George Herbert. That's why I've chosen our closing hymn. We're going to sing it shortly. Lovely hymn together, and one of the verses says, praise in the common things of life, its goings out and in, praise in each duty and each deed, however small and mean. A man called David Hibbert said this, the fear of the Lord includes worship, but it doesn't stop there. Radiating out of adoration, it moves into daily conduct. And it means seeing each moment as the Lord's time, seeing each relationship as the Lord's opportunity, seeing each duty as the Lord's command, and seeing each blessing as the Lord's gift. It's living life in a new way, looking at it from God's perspective. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's revering His person in all of life and all of living. But the second thing I think it means, not just revering God's person, but receiving God's words. Chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if you accept my words, verse 10, wisdom will enter into your heart. How tremendous. And so the question, how to be wise, gives us the answer. We've got to be soaked and saturated with Scripture. We've somehow got to get the Bible into our bloodstream. That is to say, use it and apply it in our daily life. But before we can use it and apply it, we've got really to want this. We've got to desire this Bible wisdom. We've got to desire these words of God. Did you notice in chapter 2 how all our faculties were involved in this great desire for wisdom? There's our ears. Turn your ear to wisdom. There's our heart. Apply your heart to understanding. There's our voice. Call out for insight. Cry aloud for understanding. And then there's our eyes. If you look for it as silver. If you do all these things, that's to say not a casual desire, but a comprehensive desire involving the whole of us, then verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. And I think he gives it in a couple of ways from the Bible. He gives it first in written down instructions, and then secondly in what we might call sanctified common sense. In our journey of life, let me use an illustration to try and pick up these two ways in which we receive wisdom from God's words. In our very long journey to South Wales, we encountered two difficulties. Difficulty number one, how to get onto the motorway by Gart Cosh. And I found myself giving directions to go down this slipway onto the motorway, despite the fact there was a notice which said, road closed, use diversion. But I said, it'll be okay, that doesn't really apply to us now. And so we found ourselves going down a motorway lane which was empty apart from big holes, traffic cones, and a steamroad roller. Had to turn round and go out. It wasn't very wise, was it, to disregard the written instructions and the signs. And you know, I sometimes think that in the church it is a bit like this. In our meetings, with the issues that come up, we don't really think about the signs, the written down instructions. I have to confess that I feel a bit of a failure at Kirk Session meetings as moderator over the years when there's been issues of controversy or trouble or divisions or differences. I should have stopped and said, listen folks, let's pause for a minute. Let's think about the signs. What do the signs say? How do the signs read? What does the Bible say on this? If we're to acquire wisdom, we must have some knowledge of God's words. We've got to know the precepts and the promises and the principles. We've got to know something about the texts and the truths which are given to us to guide us and help. Written down instructions. Do you have a desire to get to grips with Bible teaching and God's Word? If you do, you're on the pathway to Bible wisdom. If you don't, you're not. We had a second difficulty in the journey. The second difficulty was trying to locate the travel lodge that we were staying in North Wales overnight. There were no written down instructions for this in the map. There couldn't have been. Just kind of general guidelines. And I have to say, at this point, my wife and I had a slight altercation about things. I mean an altercation in addition to the one at Gart Cosh. And she had an instinctive feel that we went this way. And I had an instinctive feel that we went that way. So, of course, we went this way to begin with. And I do have to say, to be honest with the situation, that this way led us going round and round in circles and retracing our steps three times. Round and round. And so I followed my instincts and to cut a long story short, we got there. Something instinctive about going in the right direction. Now, of course, the Bible doesn't give us written instructions for many of our circumstances and many of our situations.
many of the events which come upon us? Of course not. But the mind that is steeped in Bible teaching over the years has a wisdom which, like driving a car, leads to a certain instinctiveness. Making the journey, going on. That's to say, you see and you respond and you do what seems right in the actual situation. We call it sanctified common sense. Or it may just involve asking ourselves a simple question in this particular issue. Is this wise or is this foolish? Is this wise or is this foolish? And to be drawn towards wisdom and to reject the folly. But we only have this sanctified common sense as we receive God's words and Bible teaching over the years. That's the key and that's the clue. And that's part of the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And the Lord gives wisdom. That's the promise in verse 6. And that promise is taken and extended and enlarged in the New Testament. And we started our service this morning by reading together that great, great expansion of the promise in the New Testament. This is really a golden promise. This is a promise I urge you to take home and to treasure it and to store it up and to put it into your minds and memorize it and use it and repeat it 100 times this coming week and in all the weeks to come. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, but let him ask in faith. The Lord gives wisdom. May He bless His word and make us seekers after this special, distinctive, and different wisdom, and help us to be wise. Let's pray together. We bow before You, our Heavenly Father, and believe that You know the way that we take. You're the one who knows the future as well as the past. We only have the present. And we confess that we do struggle at times in periods of confusion and darkness. And we thank You for the encouragement that You bring through the gospel of Jesus Christ and through the word of Your holy scriptures, that there is a wisdom which is available to all who want it and who seek it and seek You. And we pray that as a result of our time reading and studying and thinking about Your word, that by Your Spirit You will inspire within us such a desire to honor You, to recognize You in all of life, and that we may fear You, humble ourselves before You and seek what You want first before what we desire. So help us in this and give to us a sense of adventure as we move out into the unknown, yet confident of the clarity of the directions that You do give to those who wait upon You and are intent upon bringing glory to Your name. So hear this prayer. May Your word find a lodging place in our souls today and in the days to come. For we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.